Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This better be important, Sylvanas. And more importantly, what are those scourge fiends doing here?
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the instance.
Everyone, welcome back to The Instance, and maybe you're here for the first time. Welcome to it. It is December 18th, 2020. We are here to talk about World of Warcraft and Blizzard at large. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Garrett Weinzerl. Hello, Garrett.
Hey, dude.
Dude.
Where's my car?
Yeah, where's my car, dude?
It's nice to have you here. I haven't watched that movie in a long
time. Yeah, I understand. It's funny. You and I share an affliction today. My sciatic hurts, and your spine hurts. So
I have a pinched nerve.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm hiding a heating pad and a scarf, doing my best Patrick Bejah impression.
Yep. We will now sing a rendition of "Over 30 and We Know It" by Scott Garrett.
If you're over 30 and you know it, get some pain. Over 30 and you know it, get some pain.
There you go. Over 30 and you know it, and your back's starting to show it. If you're over 30 and you know it, you're lame. There.
Yeah.
That's the entire
yeah.
song.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to change the lyrics to "What's My Age Again" to "Nobody Likes You When You're 33.
Oh, there you go. I like that, too.
Add 10 years to that.
Nice. Well, it's good to be here. We're gonna do a show regardless and push through. We got a bunch to talk about in World of Warcraft. Also, a little special conversation I had with Patrick Bejah outside of the show that you at home are going to hear, and live people will not. But I had a pretty lengthy discussion with him about a certain technical alpha he was invited to this week, and he is currently playing, and what he thinks about said alpha. We'll get to all that in a minute, but let's start with these side quests. Big changes coming to Torghast. It's almost like they listen to the show and everyone else's show for that matter, because we've all been sort of saying it. But big stuff coming to Torghast and soon. I know there's a couple of people in our chat that are literally in their Torghast runs right now, or a Torghast run right now. We wish you luck while we discuss this. And I really, truly hope that you don't get feared 50 times to Sunday while you're in your run to level 6 of that run. Okay? Good luck to you. Because fears can F right off. See these two birds, Garrett? These birds are for the fears. No more fears. Tears for fears is what I have. Anyway, if you're likely ready to rip your hair out about some of these things, like those fears you can't interrupt, I think we all knew something was going to come, something big, maybe integral to the experience of running Torghast, since it's such an integral part of the game now. And we've got some tuning coming. Here's a quote from Blizzard. In summary, we want to reduce the length of a Torghast run, increase players' success rates for a few specializations that are struggling more than others, and give players more options to deal with when it comes to challenges in Torghast. So here's the basics of the breakdown. There's an entire patch or a post on their forums/site that explain all this. But layer difficulty nerfed across the board. So it's going to be less hard. And that mostly means for everyone but a few very lucky classes, and mostly tanks and healers, honestly. They're sort of tearing through this content, not having too much trouble, except for maybe some boss stuff and some crowd control stuff.
Tearing through it is an interesting choice of words. We are getting through without issue, but it still takes for goddamn ever.
Yeah, it's still an hour sometimes. I mean, the sixth level run I did the other day, 2 days ago, it was easily that.
The sixth level run I did last week was great, but it took about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
The seven level run I tried this week took about an hour before dying on floor 4 twice. Yeah. So I wasted about 2 hours there, went back to 6, still couldn't beat it on 6.
Yeah.
So I wasted my entire evening and got nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
And kind of got to a point where I was like, "Oh, this is awful and I hate it now."
Why am I doing this? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they nerfed it, and I still had a really bad layer 7 experience post the nerf.
Mm.
Where, again, I got about 40 minutes in, got the level 4 of a layer 7 and could not beat the boss.
Yeah.
Well, there's just nothing I could do because I got offered absolute shit abilities.
Yeah.
And so my only option was to just take my ball and go home and start over all over again. Have you had just so this week I've wasted roughly 4 hours and gotten nothing to show for it in Torghast. So Torghast can kiss my ass this week.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, part of it for me is the game needs to be more rewarding for partial runs, and then the difficulty curve is more forgivable because you can go home with something.
I think they need to figure out, like, is this a chore you run every week because you need Soul Ash, or is this a thing that is supposed that I'm supposed to lose time on? Because right. when it's both, it feels horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's something I'm supposed to lose time on and not get my my cap for the week, it feels really, really bad.
I want it to be fun and rewarding. Right now, yeah. it's a mix of fun and frustrating. So we got to balance that out.
Yes, it's the highs are medium and the lows are underground. That's where yeah. Torghast is.
Yeah, I don't disagree. They also said health nerfed across the board is happening. That means every character, not you, the character, but the creatures you're fighting, all the NPCs, the mobs rather, will be have their health nerfed. Damage reduced for 4 and 5 player groups. So that means you'll be less able to just annihilate the place. I assume they're talking about your damage. They didn't get into that very far, but major cooldowns reset at the end of a floor. I really like that idea because sometimes I'm being way too precious with some of my longer cooldowns and holding on to them for too long and then don't use them when maybe I should, because I know that right around the corner I'm going to have to fight another floor and I don't want to have to wait for those cooldowns. So that's kind of nice. I like that.
I use them like crazy.
Yeah. Anima cells drop more often in rares / starting anima cells offer more and stronger anima power respectively, so those upgrades and affixes are going to be more powerful and better. Went on to say nerfs to difficult enemies like Massive Crusher, Tower Sentinel, Skeletal Remains, and more, so that's coming. Torments that spawn creatures health and damage reduced by 50%. Jeez, that's a big drop. And upper yeah. reaches, health bonuses massively reduced to 10% bonus health. Unnatural power no longer prevents CC effects at 10 stacks. So
that's a big one. This yeah. is what was just ruining my night earlier in the week
yeah.
when I was trying to get through Torghast.
Yeah,
I wasn't originally looking at the buffs that were stacking on the enemy. I thought it was an enrage effect because it was hitting it like 25% on the dot almost every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It was real rough. And the wing this week was at Fractured Halls, I think.
Yeah.
The caster, like door to the next level bosses, not the final boss, but like the level bosses.
Yeah.
That are casters that run that do Sin Bolt and also pacify you.
Yeah. They can.
Were the big. I have never hated this game more.
Yeah, they can.
WoW has never made me angrier, and I've been spawn camped like.
Yeah, they can eat a turd, those yeah. guys, because they just make it unfun. It's just like, it's too much. It's not good.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are listening to this saying, buck up, it's supposed to be hard. No, I want the difficulty curve, but it's needed balancing and tuning, and they know that, and that's why they're doing it. So
I want Endless Halls to be hard. I want the thing I have to do every week for Soul Ash to be achievable in a time that doesn't make me want to repair out.
Right. Who wants to do that? Literally no one. If there is someone who's like that, you're a sadist. Why do you want to do that to yourself? And this is my favorite.
Hey, no judgment. No judgment. If you like it, that's
whatever. Cool. I don't want to king shame here or anything.
Soul Ash is so integral to this expansion. Well, it's just like, give me my Soul Ash.
Yeah. And give it to me. I mean, this is the big thing. Like, give me something meaningful to do to get it. But can we try to make it not feel like work? That's always the thing with these things. And I want to make something really super clear here, because our main discussion today is about travel, and I have a lot to say about that based on the last couple of weeks of play. But like a lot of things in this expansion, my biggest hangups right now are Torghast is kind of major, but relatively small stuff. And I think that's a good sign, actually, because when the game itself, the expansion itself, is a strong showing enough that I'm left complaining about smaller things, some quality of life stuff that maybe needs improvements or used to be there but isn't now or whatever, I'm much happier to be nitpicking those things than I am saying major systems are failing. because they're not overall. I feel like this is good. Their attention to Torghast is going to be important for that particular system. But overall, I really like, I almost said insurance gains. Why am I saying that?
Insurance gains?
That's not what I mean. When you got the faction shit. What's it called? Faction rep.
Covenant?
Rep games.
Rep?
Gains. I couldn't get that word out. I don't know why that game.
Please reset your Scott Johnson.
Yeah. That word was playing like a Gears of War freaking hide behind cover kind of mechanic right then. But anyway, that's what I mean is rep gains. Okay. Gains. I like that way better now than I have in a long time in the game. I really like the way Renown works. I really like the way Covenant missions work. I like so much about what's happening that it's just the little things are bubbling up now, you know, little stuff that's fixable, whether their priorities or not. I don't know, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. Like I'm still over the moon with this expansion. This is the first week I got real mad at it though, which was the Torghast stuff, which has been nerfed, but still had a rough post nerf experience with it. Yeah, I think I'm just going to do layer sixes and just give up the Soul Ash that I missed this week because it's just not worth the time investment.
It's not going to happen for you. No Soul Ash for you. Tell us about, speaking of our souls and whether they're in trouble or not, tell us what Greg Ghostcrawler Street announced this week.
Yeah, especially if your soul is in concerned about how much free time it has. former Blizzard designer Greg, you might know him better as Ghostcrawler, last name Street, let it fly that Riot is making an MMO. And they are hiring for it as well. In his tweet, he said, quote, "I have news. My recent job at Riot has been to help develop the League universe, which we're going to need because it is time. My new job is to kick off a big, some might say massive game that many of you and many Rioters have been asking us to create. P.S. We're hiring." He went on to just beat us over the head with it that, yes, he was hinting at an MMO in case it wasn't already obvious.
Yeah, it seemed obvious to me in the language where he says, we're kicking off something big.
The parenthetical.
Some might say massive. but later he had to clarify because someone asked, "Wayne, are you guys making an MMO?" He says, "Yes, we're making an MMO."
Yeah, we're making an MMO.
This is significant for me because this is Greg Street talking. Anybody else in charge of this project, I think I'd care a little bit less. There's a legacy to Greg that I think is palpable in the WoW community in a way that isn't with others that have left the company. When he left in 2015, late 2014, whatever it was, one of his last things he ever did was sit and try to answer questions at our live show at BlizzCon that year when asked about the new flying thing, which is when that started. You're not going to get to fly at the end of this expansion. You're going to have to wait and do some stuff. And they were talking about not letting you fly and gating it. And it was very controversial. That was kind of the last we heard then. But I thought, oh, Riot's hired him. Okay, what's he going to do? And that was all stuff that didn't seem like Greg stuff, like working on the League team, working on some other stuff. Oh, we've got a bunch of projects underway. So he's helped with that.
He's got a lot of experience balancing, right?
Yes, lots of balance experience.
Game balance is applicable to more than just the same genre of game that you're balancing on.
Well, and explaining themselves a lot, right? Like he was a great mouthpiece for Blizzard.
I'm with you too. Ghostcrawler still carries clout with me. I like Greg, despite how many times he nerfed Paladin. I like the way the dude's brain works.
Yeah.
And here we have it. Scott, a Ghostcrawler tweet with more information about Riot's next game than an entire trailer of Mass Effect.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird for them to basically make this announcement through a vice president's tweet online. But having him there and being kind of big wig over this particular project has me more curious about this. And it's really a world I haven't cared that much about. The lore of those characters I don't care much about.
I don't even know the lore of those characters. I know it exists, and could not be less interested in figuring out what it is.
Because MOBA characters to me, with the exception of Heroes of the Storm, tend to be analogs, and in Dota's case, like straight up rip-offs, because they were, it was based in Warcraft 3, but...
Yeah,
but they're basically analogs to all the stuff you could do in Warcraft. So Warcraft character types like the Lich King and a Wisp and this combination of different character types, and not so much characters that also are archetypes as well, which is...
I don't know what you're talking about. Pudge is the most unique and original character design I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Although now I'm talking Dota. I know the name of literally no League characters, so I can't help you there.
I am zero expert either. I really like their new card game. I know you're not super sold on it, but I like it. The Legends of Runeterra.
I mean, you're not alone, man. Yeah, you're not alone.
I think it's cool.
I really do not care for it, but it's making Hearthstone sweat.
Yeah, it's got a nice thing going on there. I really enjoy what little I played of Valorant. I'm terrible, so I just get my ass handed to me, but I kind of like what Valorant's doing. Like, they've got big stuff that's happened lately, and all kind of recently. Like, this is all new stuff, and now to hear they're working on this shouldn't be, I guess, a giant surprise, except to say, you know, this is a Tencent-owned company. Probably means this is meant to be a major impact in the Chinese market or in the Asian markets, as well as here. But having Greg there with his finger on the pulse of the thing makes me actually interested to see what they freaking do. So let's keep our eyes on the prize there and see what the hell happens, Greg. And Greg still listens to the show, so he may be hearing all this and just like rolling his eyes because of how little we know. But Greg, that just means you got to come on and we'll do an interview again. Let's do that.
Well, Scott, speaking of things that we're not sure if we should be excited about, what's going on with Diablo Immortal?
Well, I was going to tell you all of it, but I'll only tell you part of it because it turns out Patrick Bejaz had his hands on his very own copy, his own digital phone copy of the technical alpha that was just announced via video by Wyatt Chang. He is, of course, the head of that particular development team. He took to the internet with a long awaited update on what is happening with Diablo Immortal these days. We have a much better understanding of what that game is as a result. Some key takeaways: the story set between 2 and 3. This is mostly happening in Australia, not the story, but the test. So if you have access, you're mostly in that part of the world. There are some U.S. and European-based playtesters, Patrick being one of them, but it's rare. It's only going to go for like 9 or 10 days for this phase. One would assume a beta shortly thereafter, but we don't know that either. There's some interesting notes. He mentioned West March is the hub for multiplayer. The itemization is all new. Legendaries are all self-found, not tradable. They really pushed hard on, you know, what of this game is free, which is most of it, and what you would pay for, which is 2 or 3 things if you wanted to, but even then you didn't have to. They really seem to be hammering that. This features upgradable weapons. Me and Patrick get into that, so I won't talk too much about it. And yeah, there's a bunch of other systems like Elder Rifts and level cap being shorter for the beta or the alpha, but longer when it comes out. No energy system. There'll be a battle pass. Like, there's a lot of little things here and there. But what I'm going to do instead of trying to explain it all, I'm going to let Patrick explain what he saw, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he's worried about, and what he is optimistic about. And you'll be surprised how much of this, from a non-mobile gamer like Patrick, he's actually excited about. So, without further ado, Patrick and I have a conversation. Hey, Patrick, what's going on?
Hey, Scott. So many things. Yeah. It seems 2020 is soon coming to an end.
Yeah.
Like, not like the world is coming to an end, although it might feel like it, but the year is ending.
Yeah.
So that's big.
It is finally coming to an end. And, you know, it's for gamers and especially for Blizzard gamers, there's stuff to do finally at the end of this year. We got things to do. But one big surprise of the year is that maybe soon a bunch of people will have one more thing to do, and that is test the technical alpha of Diablo Immortal, which apparently lives. And now this will mostly be people in Australia, but I have it on good authority that this limited technical alpha is somehow in the hands of our very own Patrick Beja. And you're going to tell us a little bit about your
Who
experience.
Told you that?
It was a guy, a French guy, can't place
called
the name.
Patrick Beja?
Oh,
right, yes.
Oh, that's
okay. Pretty good authority on what Patrick Beja is doing. Yeah, I got into the technical alpha. There's a bunch of European and American creators who are in. It's primarily, as you said, it seems, an Australian server and Australian creators that got in. But yeah, a bunch of us dirty Europeans and filthy Americans got into it as well.
That's very nice. Did it? I assume some of this came due to your awesome contacts you still have with the Blizzard folks somehow. Like, you don't have to get specific.
I don't know. I'm sure the people making the decision know who I am, but it's not like my former bosses and colleagues were like, hey, are you interested? And it wasn't that at all. I just got an email one day from a guy who didn't know who I was and who didn't know I worked at Blizzard. Mm. And he was like, hey, we're doing this thing with Diablo. Are you interested? And I'm like, Yeah, sure. So I don't know. I don't think it was like, maybe there was some clout or some, but it wasn't like in the end part of the process.
Did he say anything on maybe the email? Because, did he say on the email, we all have phones, right? He didn't say that to you, did he?
Maybe he did have to ask if I had one, because it would have been hard to test it without it. But yeah, no, I don't know. I to be honest, I was bewildered because I never do these kinds of, you know, early access testing. I specifically have no contact with PR people because, you know, a bunch of reasons. But yeah, I was happy to get it. And I was curious about the game. So I definitely was curious to test it out.
Well, let's get to that then. So you've had some time with it. And of course, it's limited for characters out of the eventual six that will launch. You know, other limitations that just have to do with the fact that this is a technical demo or a technical alpha. For example, the level cap is 40, not the maximum that it will be, which I think they said
45. Yeah.
45, which I think will eventually be what? 70, 60, 70, whatever it is.
I'm not sure. It's around that, like 60, 70. I think it's 60, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And we're talking about an experience that includes mostly early game stuff and some mid game sort of systems, much of which Wyatt sort of, you know, outlined in his video announcement. But I am curious from your perspective, like first impressions, does this feel like not just a Diablo game? Because I think it absolutely looks like one, so I assume it feels like one. But does it feel like this is going to be a game that Diablo fans are going to, you know, finally drop their I hate mobile guard and actually just play the thing and like it and love it?
I mean, this is a really difficult question because and a sore topic because of, you know, the way it was introduced and everything. And I think there are people who are just like angry for some reason and who have decided that they hate this and they hate mobile games and they hate Diablo on mobile even more. And they're like, they didn't get enough hugs when they were kids or something. And they have a principle that says, like, they have their 10 commandments and their the you know, amendments in their own personal constitution. And number one of those is, I do not like, it's not even I won't play, but I do not like mobile games.
Yeah.
And those people, I think, you know, there are, I'm mentioning it because I think there are a few in the Blizzard Diablo community. I'm like, okay, those people exist and will be vocal. And I think it's kind of a little bit pointless to try and argue.
However, there's
another category of people who traditionally don't really play mobile games and who are more console and PC gamers, mm-hmm. and who would love to have games that they actually enjoy and who bring the same kind of pleasure as traditional games do on their phone. It just so happens that those opportunities or the successful games in that category have been rare. Or rare to non-existent. I'm not saying those people don't play mobile games. There are a few mobile, but the two are really different. Like, I don't need to convince you that mobile games are usually quite different from desktop, PC, and console experiences.
Sure.
Not just in form, but just like in the thing you seek out of a game, mm-hmm. like that. It usually doesn't provide it to you.
Right. So,
to very convoluted introduction, to say that what Diablo Immortal is kind of what it seemed it was going to be when we tried it out at BlizzCon a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that is, they took the assets and the systems and the characters and the classes from Diablo 3 and they changed them and adapted them and filed them down to fit into a mobile. Mobile platform. Mm-hmm. And that's a different kind of work. Like, obviously, it's not called Diablo 3, it's called Diablo Immortal, but really that's what it is. But it's a different kind of work than what they did between the PC version and the console version of Diablo 3, because the PC version and console version are the same game, just adapted, you know, in minor ways to fit the different platform.
Right.
This is not that.
Right.
Diablo Immortal uses assets. The best way I can summarize it is it uses a lot of assets from Diablo 3, but it is rethought from the ground up to fit the mobile platform. Not just the controls, which is, in my opinion, absolutely like the most important thing is that it controls well. But it's not just that. It's the way the activities are designed, the way the the length of the activities you're going to do. The dungeons are shorter. There are dungeons, actually. They are shorter. You have bounties like in Destiny that you can do a dozen a day that are relatively quick, and you'll get something out of. There are quests, world events, stuff like that. And it's also very much a multiplayer game. And I'll come back to the controls because I think it's a super important thing, but it's a multiplayer game in the old school MMO sense. Like you literally have servers, like you, not just regions like Europe, Asia, and the US. By the way, I'm guessing they're testing on Australian servers because it's the closest to Asia that they have. And why not directly in Asia? I don't know. But my guess would be that this is why they're testing there. But yeah, you have servers. Like regions are divided into different servers. You create a character on a specific server. And if your friend creates one on another server, then you can play with them. Which is interesting. Like that took me aback. It was weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I thought it would be just like a quick friend match makey, I don't know, mobile style. You see this in a lot of games. I had no idea that it would be more like a, you pick a
home. Me neither.
Yeah, you kind of pick a home.
Me neither. It's very weird. I mean, they're saying they haven't delved into too much detail about this, but they're saying they want to foster like server community and life and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we'll have to see about that. Right. But this is a little bit more high level stuff. What we could test in this one is really like the gameplay and the moment to moment feel of the game.
How do you feel about the controls? Let's get back to those, because that is a key thing. It's the number one thing as far as I'm concerned. And I assume like many of these mobile games are probably going to strive for controller support. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But how are the on-screen controls?
So first things first, no controller support. Like it might come down the line, maybe.
But not at this stage.
But no controller support. Okay. That's not what it's designed for.
Okay.
It is entirely designed to be a mobile experience. Okay. And the controls, to get to that, for the first 5 minutes, I really hated them. Well, not I hated them. I couldn't do what I couldn't make my character do what I wanted them to do. Mm. And keep in mind, I am not a mobile gamer. Mm-hmm. Like I do almost like most people in the audience, I guess. I'm sure some people play a lot of mobile games, but I couldn't. It didn't really work. But it was for like 5 minutes. It took me about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to kind of start getting accustomed to it. And after about that amount of time, I spent an hour or two without thinking about it anymore. It's not, you know, obviously it's not going to be mouse and keyboard, right? It's never going to be that precise. Or maybe for some people it is. I don't know if you've ever watched a game streaming platform like a Twitch competitor for mobile.
Sure.
But there are a lot of those, and the people who play there, they are insanely good at this. It makes me think of, you know, PC gamers when they first put their hands on a controller, like a console controller. Mm-hmm. They're like, how does this work? I don't know. Like my hands are like an octopus. And you just get used to it. Right.
Yeah.
But so there are a lot of people who are going to be very, very good at this from the get go. For me, it was a little bit of a learning curve, but not too long. And again, I'm getting back to the thing that there are a lot of people who just want to hate this. They're going to be surprised. It's not, it becomes pretty good, pretty fast. And it becomes quite, like, there are changes to the game systems. For example, you have essentially no resource management. Almost none, but let's say no resource management. It's all cooldowns. Mm. And that kind of simplification of it makes it not only fit the mobile platform, but it also makes it a little bit more fun and easy to get into. And yeah, it works. Honestly, what I've tried, I've played, I don't know, maybe 15 hours, and it totally works. It's not going to be your, you know, the platform where you're the most precise, mm-hmm. but is it competent? Does it work even well? Like, do you stop thinking about it for after a while? And that's super important.
That obviously is important. That makes me happy to hear that, because that's the biggest hang up or the things that make me fall off these games the quickest. I remember in early days of mobile, there were a couple of Diablo kind of rip-off-y sort of, hey, it's like playing Diablo on mobile kind of games. Demon something Hunter, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, it was very cool at the time because it was like, this is the first time I've seen this sort of thing in my pocket and I can just pull this out and get kind of a Diablo fix that way. But what usually would drop me off on these sorts of things, and the billions of copycats and free to plays and microtransactions later, is that at a very core level, they control poorly and they're not as fun as if I was even playing that game on some sort of other device with a controller. And some of that's been mitigated now with like services like Apple Arcade, which requires controller support as part of game submissions. So, and mouse and keyboard for that matter, because you can play it on your Mac. But that idea that you can play it no matter whether you're on screen, on controller, or on a keyboard is a thing that I think drives a lot of other games to also now add that kind of support, even if they're individual games and not in the arcade. And I've seen some of these crop up as well over on Android. And so, you know, my take on that is that people are like, yeah, screens are okay, but it would be great if we had a more tangible way to do this, whether it's accessories that have controllers built into them and you snap into your phone or whatever all that stuff may be.
So,
but I really like the idea of Blizzard in particular saying, all right, that's all well and good, but here's the primary thing you're going to have your phone for. You're going to have it in your pocket and you're going to be sitting waiting for your car to get fixed and you want to play Diablo. And we want to make that compelling for your fingers right away and not have to set up a bunch of hooch and just play. And I'm happy to hear that they kind of pulled that off according to what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, for me at least, it works. And there are two things I want to say about this. The first one is, you know, yes, of course, some people are going to complain that there isn't controller support or would prefer that there is controller support. I shouldn't say people complain all the time. I understand that. And maybe I would as well. Mm. But the reality of it is you're going to have a controller with you all the time. It's like, yes, in theory, it could be possible, but it's like thinking, oh, I want to play Diablo on my PS4, and I really wish we could connect a keyboard and mouse to the PS4. You're like, no, that's not that's not what it's for. The design of Diablo Immortal is that you're going to have this in your pocket all the time, and whenever you want to play it, you just whip it out and start playing. And related to the other thing you were saying, I haven't tried a lot of those, you know, copycat dungeon crawler Diablo like games on mobile. Mm-hmm. But this is not, Diablo Immortal is not, and I think it's going to be a little bit hard for people to believe me when I say this, but this is not mini Diablo.
Right.
This isn't like baby's Diablo. It's not Minecraft Dungeons, which is super simple.
Right.
This is Diablo on your mobile.
Right.
Like, it is a big game. It might be simplified, like slimmed down in some areas because it makes more sense on the mobile platform. But there is a lot in this game. Like, you have everything you would expect from a Diablo game, like equipment slots, ton of them, the affixes, you have gems, you have like a ton of different characteristics on your character, like, you know, different, I don't know, like crit chance, speed, et cetera,
right,
that you can optimize. You have,
I'm glad you're going this direction because I have a question about itemization. Speaking of loot and stuff and how it affects you, there is a new system here that did not exist in previous Diablos. And that is, as described in his video, basically an upgrade path or a leveling system per item. So a piece of gear, like a sword, can be upgraded further, which, by the way, if you're into mobile games, this is going to sound very familiar. This isn't all that different than catching multiple Pokemon and then spending them to make a better single version of that Pokemon, or, you know, any number of other games like these, you know, card games like Clash Royale or whatever. You gather the ability cards, and the more you have, then you can level them up because you have 10 of them and that sort of thing. It sounds like a similar system, although it's more about breaking down junk stuff and then using it to upgrade or improve those weapons. Does that play out pretty well? Do you like that system?
So I'm I think this is late game stuff. And there's a number of things in the late game which are interesting and also a little bit concerning for the business model. This is, I think, one of them, because just to break it down to the easiest explanation, yes, you have one piece of gear that you can upgrade. I believe there's a limit in the ranks that you can upgrade it to, but regardless, there are also affixes that you gain when you upgrade it to, after a certain number of upgrades. And to get the upgrade, you need some gold and some crafting material, relatively rare, more or less rare, depending on the upgrade rank that you're going for. And that crafting material you get from essentially disenchanting or disassembling weapons and armor that you don't need at the blacksmith. From what I gather, you can't sell weapons, you can only disenchant them. And those crafting materials you can get from playing, but you can also get from buying at a marketplace, which is not an auction house, but it's essentially kind of an auction house. But the marketplace only sells crafting materials and gems, and you can't set your own price. It's set by the demand and supply of the server and stuff like that. But you can use real money to buy those. So depending on how it's balanced, if you really want a level 10 sword, you have this sword that you really like, if you don't have enough material, it will be tempting to go to the marketplace and buy more. So depending on how it's balanced, if you get enough material, if you play enough by playing the game, then maybe it's not going to be something that will push you to spend real money. And, that is something they're going to have to balance, I suppose.
Yeah, they made a big deal. They made a big deal in the post or in a follow-up post on their forums. I think it was forums, may have been on the site, but basically just big bold letters. This is not the Diablo 3 auction house. And they really doubled down on that. Of course,
they want to avoid that.
Yeah, they do.
And even more than that, the items can only be looted and only be looted by you. Like, there's no selling of items, no exchanging, no nothing. Your character, when you see someone that has, that type of armor that you're really, if someone built their whole Tal Rasha set, they looted that. They didn't, buy it somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's super important, of course. And it's also important to note that the game is free to play. So, and from my experience, there's a lot of game in that free to play path without having to spend money. I expect that at the very least, you will be able to play through the whole campaign, which I guess it's going to be 20 hours maybe, without spending money. That's not where the monetization is. There's going to be a battle pass as well. Yep. That's pretty classic. But so do you want to dive into monetization? Because I'm sure we can talk about stuff more afterwards. But,
well, I mean, monetization is going to be the thing that scares people away the most or makes them the most excited that they are doing it a certain way. So, overall, like from what I'm reading here, let's see, I've got it right here. There'll be no energy system. That's good news because I hate those.
No,
that's great.
You do have a logging in incentive though, which is nothing to do with that. When you log in and you kill a monster every day, each day you get a little bonus for killing one mob, and after it increases in quality when you do many in a row.
Okay, that makes sense. So there are incentives there,
there's no energy system that's going to keep you from playing and then having you pay to get more energy. That does not exist.
That's really good because I hate energy systems in these games, and mobile is egregious with it. Certainly other games, there's these login things exist for many games as a services sort of game. I don't have any problem with those. Those are fine. I hate energy systems, though. They make me want to puke. So that's awesome. And the battle pass and crests, which they talked about a little bit in the video, which I don't know if that's in your alpha or not.
But I haven't reached that point yet. Yeah. Gotcha. So there's crests and upgrade stones, which are the two with battle paths and the marketplace are the four different monetization systems. Mm-hmm. The crests are something that I believe you can get in-game, but you can also buy, and I don't know if they will be different types of crests, but they're addition to a rift. They have their own version of a rift in the game. And you can add to a rift when you're going to start it, and your entire party benefits from additional affixes, which can be bonuses or hindrances,
right,
and additional loot or, you know, stuff that you get.
Right.
And so that, we might come back to it, but it's one of the ways that they do it. And the other thing is, those affixes that you gain when you upgrade an item are random, right? They're completely random, whatever, what affix you get. And we don't know how many there are, but like, let's say 60, 100. Mm-hmm. And you have stones that focus the upgrade into families like elemental families, mm-hmm, not elementary. And so if you want an upgrade that is a lightning affix, then you buy a lightning stone and it will reduce focus the available pool of affixes in that upgrade when you upgrade it to only the lightning types of affixes. So if you want one of those, then you better your chances of getting it.
Right.
That has me a little bit concerned because it's the whole system, if it's random and you have one chance out of 60 of getting one, or one out of six of getting it if you pay for it, it's still, you know, or one out of 10 of getting it, it's, you still need to do potentially five of those updates, of those upgrades to the item. And for those upgrades, you need crafting material. So will you have enough crafting material, or will that also push you to pay to buy crafting materials from other players?
Right.
I don't know. All of this has to be seen at high level and has to be balanced. And the other thing is the upgrades you get, the bonuses and loot you get from crests and rifts are... So there are seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And the Paragon system, which we... Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but all of these are interlocked. Sure. And I think it's important to notice this because it's easy to miss them. If, you know, it might not work exactly the way I understand it, but I think it might as well. So... Mm-hmm. You have a Paragon system, which gives you a point per Paragon level you gain to add to your talent trees. You have Paragon talent trees, essentially, four of them. Each one of them has 100 points available or that you can assign. And you have 400 points for the Paragon system when the game launches. Then you will have new, you know, content upgrade updates or seasons, and you will get additional Paragon levels. So 100 more, and you will have additional, you know, openings in your trees to add points to them. So that means that you might be incentivized to go quickly if you want to be like a top competitive player, right? If you want to be the best on your server,
sure,
you might be incentivized to level very quickly and upgrade your items to get the exact best build in the meta and the exact best affixes that you need on the items. The items you get by playing, but the affixes, it might be a numbers game and you have to upgrade 100 times to get, or maybe, you know, 15 times to get the one you want for that build. And you might want to get a lot of items from rifts with additional crests to get a lot of material and a chance to get the item you really want, stuff like that. And it might be very balanced, but I'm wondering if, you know, how it will work if it is not super well balanced. I mean, obviously, it's a free-to-play game. At some point, they're going to encourage people to, or not encourage, you're, it's normal that at some point you're going to play, pay something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
if,
yeah,
you're, if you're playing 10 to 100 hours a month, then it's not unreasonable to get you to pay something for the game.
Sure, most gamers, so most gamers are willing to at that there. Point because they've, you know, they're enjoying the, yeah, game and they're like, oh yeah, I could see myself spending $10 here. This is cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the whole idea.
And they want to
curate this game to a degree that drives them to do that. And that's a delicate balance. That's hard to do, or do it right, absolutely, without pissing everybody off, you know?
And I think if it was only a battle pass, then it would be set. You know, you either pay for it or you don't. But this has the ability, has the potential for the bottomless pit kind of monetization, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it is more delicate slash dangerous. So I'm going to be paying very close attention to that aspect. Now, yeah. with all of that said, I may be a little bit more careful about all of this than others because I think, you know, my proximity to Blizzard and my, I think I'm just being objective here, but I want to make sure that I cover all my angles and corners. So this is really important.
Yeah.
However, all that said, it seems to me, again, this is conjecture because we don't know how the game will handle at end game and max level. It seems to me that there is a lot of free in that game. Like with all of those systems I mentioned, I think you can easily play the game at your pace. If you're not competing for being, you know, best in your server, I think you can play a lot and just enjoy the thing the way it is and get a lot out of it without ever paying for anything. I think we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
You might not go as quickly as others. Maybe, I don't know, but yeah,
it, I mean, they clearly have they have some motivation to do this. They want people to be, they want to take the dark memory we have of 2018's announcement, and they want to flip that around as best as they can to say, look, we went dark and quiet and put our heads down and worked for all this time, and now what you're about to see is going to be a, you know, truly an homage to the game you love on the go, and you're going to love it, and it's not going to be egregious with its monetization, and in fact, there's so much there that's free that most of you will never pay a dime. Like that seems to be the messaging, and I hope they deliver on that. And I hope it's as compelling as it sounds, because what I want is the kind of game that drives me to check it every day. Go, I need to get in there, run a couple things. I need to do an elder. They call them elder rifts now, these things.
Yes.
I want to get in there yeah. and do an elder rift. They don't require keys, according to the video. So there's no other weird farming.
You can run them as much as you want.
Yeah.
And by the way, the crests, all of the members of your party benefit from the crest bonuses. So if, you know, you never pay for anything, but you group up with people who do, then you're going to benefit from that as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, you I think you can find crests even without paying. So all of this is balance, and we'll see how they handle it. But the my main takeaway from it is not necessarily even about the conjecture about the monetization aspects. My main takeaway is that this is a real Diablo in your phone.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that some people are going to be unconvinced, and they're going to have to try it for themselves to see if it's, you know, something that they will jive with or not. And,
yeah.
and it will be free to play. So you'll be able to do that. We don't know when it will start. You know, the alpha is going to end in a week or 10 days. And then there's going to be a beta at some point, not too far future, I believe, but I don't know that for sure. And, you know, it's going to roll out. I think it's a free-to-play game. So they're going to go closed alpha, closed beta, open beta. And by the way, by the time it's open beta, it's essentially launched because it's free. Everyone can start.
So in your opinion, do you see a 2021 that includes, this is a bit out there, so it's a total guess, but do you see a 2021 that might include the launch of Diablo Immortal and the launch of Diablo 4? And it's just the year of Diablo? No. Okay.
No. I see Diablo Immortal. Yes, possibly, very possibly. I think it's going to launch in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting there. It's not, you know, in 2 months. I think it might be even towards the second half of the year, but I think it's going to launch in 2021. Okay. Diablo 4 is 2022, I think. But okay, we'll see.
Interesting.
We'll have information at BlizzCon Line. But the one thought I want to, you know, get across, you know, I said it's Diablo on your phone, and again, I think there are going to be some people who are unconvinced, but the analogy, which I think really works, is let's go back maybe 4 years, because the answer might be different now, but is your phone camera the best camera you have? Mm-hmm. Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. Your phone camera, if you take your even point and shoot a few years back, you would say, oh, but you have to use the point and shoot. You have to use the reflex camera because it's much better. Mm-hmm. Sure, in theory. Which one is the one that you actually use in practice, right? It's the one you have. That old saying of the best camera is the one you have with you.
Right.
This feels kind of similar. Is it your favorite Diablo?
Yeah.
For many people, again, there are a lot of people who only have a smartphone and who play on smartphones all the time, and some people who will discover Diablo and a very competent version of Diablo on their smartphones. And I think that's cool in and of itself. Right. But for people who are PC console gamers, maybe you would say, you know, Diablo 3, and I'm in that rank, in that category. Mm-hmm. I think Diablo 3 is still, you know, my preferred version if I want to play and I have all the options. But this is in my pocket all the time, in the bus, at the, you know, queuing at the DMV. For some reason, I'm at the DMV or at the doctor's office, or maybe even, you know, in my couch and I don't want to get up, or I'm in the toilet and it's taking a little bit of time. You know, it's always with me. And maybe instead of doom scrolling freaking Twitter for half an hour and feeling like I'm going to die, maybe I should go and kill demons for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes or 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's a compelling offering, I think.
I agree. I mean, I have always been a little bit more on the side of optimism for this. I felt like a lot of that hate was mispointed. The game itself will need to prove all this out, of course, you know, whether it's worth playing or not. But I hope some people are listening to this segment of the show and are you know, not jumping to whatever conclusions they came with. And maybe be a little open-minded to what's happening. I mean, obviously, we're still in a bit of a process. Technical alpha is pretty far from complete. But Blizzard does tend to go alpha to beta to release quicker once a thing is public and they're talking about it than most. So my suspicion... I mean,
it's pretty polished.
Yeah.
It is pretty polished. It's the kind of Blizzard beta or Blizzard alpha that you would expect.
Yeah.
It's not complete. There are a lot of things missing, and we haven't seen a lot of the end game yet, but it's pretty polished.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't see any person who's a Blizzard enthusiast or Blizzard gamer not try this. Like, why would you not give it a try?
Yeah.
It would be like a level of staunch anger that would be kind of, I'm sure some people will.
Well, but, you literally like to
I think
answer
a lot of people will give it a try, even people who are a little bit grumpy about it.
Yeah, to drag out that old phrase again, we do literally all have phones. Like to answer their question was so poorly received is we do. And that point of that comment wasn't to be, hey, this is the worst thing we could say. It was to say, it's ubiquitous. Why not take your Blizzard world on the go? Like, I feel bad that it's turned into such a horrible thing, but whatever.
The reason it was so poorly received, let's not, you know, it was the mismanaged expectations of Diablo 4.
Sure.
That's the 80% of the reason, and we've already discussed it, you know, ad nauseum, so let's not retread it too much, but
sure.
That's the reason why it became, and people kind of transferred, I think, that reaction to the lack of Diablo 4 and kind of projected it into, thus is Diablo Immortal a betrayal of everything we stand for and we hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it turns out that the monetization scheme is horrible, then fine. But maybe let's wait and see. And yeah, I think people are going to be very... maybe not very surprised. I think a number of people are... there's a number of people who are saying, you know, it might be fine, but it's on mobile and I don't play games on mobile.
Yeah.
That's kind of silly,
yeah.
Right? It's like you haven't played games on mobile yet because there hasn't been a game on mobile that you really liked enough to play it. That's the reason. It's not that you inherently detest mobile as a piece of hardware. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you do. I don't know. But that's a bit weird. Like, did mobile... person hit your mom in when you were a kid? No. So it's there can exist a piece of software on mobile that you will enjoy, and I think maybe Diablo 3 is going to be that. And
Immortal, if you
will allow me a little bit of a tangent, I don't know if you want to close the segment. A couple of years ago, there were a lot of people who were reacting very negatively to the idea of game streaming, who were like, oh, it sucks, it's never going to be, I'm never going to do it. And it's like, it's not going to replace your PC or your console. It's not there to attack who you are in your identity and your masculinity. It's just, you know, an alternative that you can use sometimes if you want. And it's got, if it works out well, you might use it sometimes instead of downloading a 200 gigs game. You just stream it for a little bit and see if you like it.
Yeah.
That's an option.
Yeah.
Here, it's a little bit of the same. Diablo Immortal is not there to destroy what you stand for as a gamer. It's just an option that is going to be there. And they're literally making Diablo 4, right? Yeah, so it's not like they're abandoning everything else. So, yeah, that's my tangent. I think it's the same. And today, people don't hate on streaming, on game streaming, as much as they did before a couple of years ago, because they've seen it kind of works and it kind of, you know, it's useful to many people.
Yeah.
And
that will just keep growing.
And that is going to be the same
thing. Yeah, because when things work when they start to work. Sometimes things are early and it's too early and we tend to downcry the stuff, but then somebody figures it out and then we move on. And I remember when somebody said to me, there's no way you're ever going to, you know, listen to a whole album on your phone. You can't download that on the data rate you have today. Well, guess what? That's freaking easy now. Like, it's just not a big deal. These things change. Basically, what we're saying is progress happens and... let it. And if Diablo Immortal is part of that progress, great. If it's not, well, all right. You miss all the shots you didn't take. So, you know, let them try.
I think the takeaway from this is that we have had a lot of hope that one day someone's going to figure out how to make a mobile game in a way that is attractive to us PC and console gamers. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened yet. Not really. Even Nintendo hasn't managed to do it, right? Those games didn't really do as well as they would have hoped, and I don't think many of us played them too much.
Right.
Blizzard is kind of, I think, the last hope for this. Yeah. Like, the traditional game developer, it's the last one left, the last one who's trying. Mm-hmm. And they're taking their sweet time, and sure, they're adapting it to mobile, for sure, but they're really making a genuine... This is the thought that I want people to... take away from this entire way too long conversation.
Okay.
This is a real Diablo. This is not mini Diablo. It's not Diablo Lite. It's Diablo. And it's on your phone and you're going to have it with you all the time. And some people are going to say, oh, but I have Diablo 3 on Switch. Come on, be honest. You have your Switch with you all the time?
No.
Like,
no.
You do not. You probably do not.
No, and you don't have the same battery life. And there's a million other reasons why you don't always have your Switch with you. Like, there is a reason this is an exciting area and the reason that Blizzard has some passion for trying to get in there. So let's see if they can do it. Give them a shot.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Battery life, it does, of course, drain it a little bit. I mean, that's to be expected. But it runs on almost everything, including potatoes. Like, it runs on phones. If you bought a phone, like... 5 years ago, this is going to run on it, my understanding.
Wow, that's great.
So that's pretty cool. And it loads pretty fast as well. So you can get in 20 seconds, do your thing for 5 minutes, and then get out.
That Blizzard polish coming through already.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good. Well, more as we know it, I think it's really cool that you got to play it. We'll follow up on any kind of things you see during this technical alpha, because if you run into any like deal breakers or deal makers, we'll report it here on the instance. Patrick, thanks for hanging out with me for this brief moment. Look forward to having you on the show proper. But in the meantime, hey, Diablo Immortal, everybody. Imminent. Well, sort of imminent. It's coming.
Nah, don't promise things.
All right.
Maybe.
Go get
imminent, maybe.
Get some real sleep. And we're back. Thank you, Patrick, for all those incredible details. And I should have mentioned before, if anyone out there is like, I don't want to hear a thing about Immortal, I could have warned you, just skip 40 minutes ahead and you can skip that entire conversation if you want to. But I'm saying this now, so it won't matter. I'm going to have to go put it in post maybe. Anyway, there's that. Hey, Garrett, Ian Hazakostas, our best friend to everyone, because we want him to make the game we love, did an interview with Polygon. What did he have to say?
Boy, 40 minutes is the longest side quest ever. Ian did an interview with Polygon, as you mentioned, talking about the changes coming to Torghast that we also touched on apparently over an hour ago. A couple of takeaways to mention here. First of which is, what's the problem? And the problem was and somewhat still, solo tanks and healers were dominant in Torghast, hence the changes that came on December 15th. Which, in my opinion, were terrible. Blizzard was ramping the difficulty, of the first few floors to avoid the trap where players would get to the final boss and realize they were in over their head and felt like they wasted their time. The beta didn't prepare them for player behavior on live servers, they said, where players were hopping into layers that weren't geared for just to get Soul Ash, which is what's happening now in the live game.
Yeah.
They also said that players are able to tell when a mythic raid is out of reach due to the gear that it dropped, but Torghast has no such metric, and thus this was a communication issue. I think, I disagree with so much that was said in this. If layer one was a normal dungeon, then layer six would be like a plus seven key, and layer eight would be a mythic plus 13 or plus 14.
Jeez.
They went on to talk about what the future goals are, and they want to reduce the length so it's not an hour-long grind. Please, God, get this in sooner than later. Increase success rate for specs which are struggling. Make powers fun and diverse, not just the stronger version of your rotation. Make it clear how hard a lair is supposed to be. Said that goal number one and two should be fixed in the coming days, while three and four are more long-term, with Torghast lasting throughout all of Shadowlands. So I'm okay with most of this. The thing that just makes me go, oh, come on, is when they're like, Torghast has no such metric to know how hard it is, so it was a communication issue. I'm like, no, I think it's a game design issue. If you set a Soul Ash cap, and you're like, if you don't do the hardest damn thing you possibly can, you're not going to hit that cap.
Yeah.
You're basically goading me to say, hey, beat your head against this for hours until you get the thing you know you can only get, and you will fall behind permanently if you don't get it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. It is a design issue. At least they recognize what needs to be done. What my worry is, this is going to end up being one of those aspects of the game that just goes in perpetuity of argument. Like, Blizzard will make a little tweak and we're just going to be, that wasn't enough. And then they'll make another tweak and say, that's not enough. And I'm trying to think of a good system in like BFA that was like this. But every time they tried to do something to Islands to fix it, it just felt like nothing ever fixed it. I think we're better shape here because the core idea of Torghast is solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time, which is I don't think any one system in Shadowlands is inherently broken. Like Azerite was in BFA, like there was just no fixing that in my mind. I think it was just inherently a flawed system.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have anything like that in Shadowlands. And, you know, I will live not having max Soul Ash. It annoys me, but I will live.
Survive.
Whereas all of BFA, I was just like, can we just nuke Azerite armor from orbit, abandon it entirely, and never speak its name again?
Yeah.
So my personal feeling on it is like Shadowlands is in such a great place, which as you mentioned earlier, and I think I mentioned last week, it's like this is so good that the little things really stick out.
Yep. So we're going to talk about those now. Well, one of them anyway. We're going to talk about travel for a second. And we've mentioned it before, but there's been a lot more. I feel like once you hit about Renown 9, you've kind of seen the world pretty much as you're going to see of it. And you've got your hand around it and you kind of know what's going on. It's around then that the inconsistencies and some of its failings as a traversable world are starting to show up for me. To me, it feels really broken right now in that way. And is at the very least, I would define it as very inconsistent.
Should I give you a hard time?
Yeah, go ahead.
I couldn't tell because the last 30 tweets on the instance account had nothing to do with the fact that you were not enjoying how hard it is to travel around the game right now.
I mean, I have been publicly venting that for about a week. And so now I feel
every time I fire up Twitter, I'm just like, oh, wow, Scott's still really mad about travel.
Well, some of it really annoys me. Like, for example, just bring back the whistle. What are we doing? Like, that thing works as a functional device for the world quest portion of your journey in two previous expansions and worked really well. So keep using that. Why are we not using that? That makes no sense to me that there's no whistle this time, especially given that there aren't a lot of flight paths. Now you could argue Bastion as an example, isn't a gigantic continent space island thing. It's not gigantic by the definition of, say, I don't know, the freaking antler horn Torn place. What's it called? High Mountain. It's not like High Mountain where, you know, that's a much vaster space. So I understand that, but I still think it's just too damn far. You got a world quest out in the middle of nowhere. And for me to do anything for the next one, I got to ride back to a flight point at the very least, and then flight point my way over to there. And if those world quests are on a different covenant, you're talking about get to a flight point, get on that flight point, adhere to whatever crappy path it takes, get through Ouroboros, fly all the way through Ouroboros, and then fly all the way back out to Torghast, or to, let's say, I don't know, one of the other ones, doesn't matter, Maldraxxus, and then get all the way over to that thing, and then you're like, man, that I could have gotten up, eaten lunch, and taken three poops. Like, it takes, that stuff's taken way too long. So I have some ideas on this. Whistle, bring it back. Flight paths, more of them. Just more of them. Not a ton. Don't give them every 5 feet, but, you know, just a few, spot them around a little bit more. Maybe, just maybe, a single portal space in each covenant to take you to other covenants would be cool. Because right now, or at the very least, that you can portal to Ouroboros without having to fly there and do the whole interstitial, like, ooh, I'm in the time wormhole thing right now part of it. Like, I like that stuff the first few times I'm flying through there and during the story stuff for sure. But now it is just a slog to fly anywhere. So let me have quicker paths back and forth. There's a way to balance that so it's not too easy and make it feel a little bit more, I don't know, a little less like just inconsistent and long for long sake. Okay. Because right now it doesn't feel like I'm getting any benefit from that length. It's just like, well, that'll be, someone could take that comment out of context. But for me to get from Maldraxxus all the way to Revendreth is a freaking nightmare. And in the old days, olden times, it isn't so much. There might still be a big flight, but you could portal to Dalaran and then just fly down to the thing you want to go to. Like that path was much quicker. The Dalaran Hearthstone was short. Right now, if you want to cheat the Hearthstone system, you got a hearth back to Ouroboros, or some people, the way they're doing it is they're hearthing back to the portal room in Orgrimmar or in Stormwind, and then just immediately hop.
Yeah, because you can do that with the guild cloaks, which I currently have both of them in my bags.
Right, they just have to be.
So
in your
I can
packs,
go
right?
back to the portal room, and then I can jump to Ouroboros. So my Hearthstone is actually set to my Covenant Sanctum because I'm doing more there than I am in Ouroboros. Mm. And then I use the cloaks and also the Dalaran Hearthstone to get my butt back to Ouroboros through the portal room portals.
Right, which is that works as a workaround at least every 30 minutes or whatever. Is that how long it is? Current Hearthstone.
One cloak is 4 hours. One cloak is 8 hours. The Dalaran Hearthstone is 15 minutes.
Okay. So there's a rotation to try to maximize that. But that's such a workaround.
And we're probably going to get 20 emails from engineers who are like, just get the wormhole. I'm like, I'm not changing my freaking profession to get around obnoxious aspects of this expansion. That's not what I'm doing. Yeah. I know it exists. I get it.
Sure.
Just like how every time I mention Maldraxxus's abilities are lame, all the PvP peers are like, but it's so good. The bone shield's so good in PvP. I'm like, that's cool. That's not how I play this game.
Right. Yeah. We understand somewhere is loving this, and that's great. And I don't, you know,
it's the small
stuff sticking out because the big stuff is really hitting. And so that's why this stuff is bugging me. Honestly, it wouldn't bug me, I think, as much otherwise.
Yeah.
It
has kept me out of Revendreth a lot. I don't go there unless I really need something from it.
And do you remember how much you thought you were going to freaking live in Revendreth? You were going to live there.
I love the zone, man. It's so cool. But yeah. It also sucks to get around. It is the worst.
It's bad.
It is so vertical.
Yeah.
You're either going out of your way to get a flight path because it's faster than waiting for the elevator, or you're waiting for the elevator.
Yeah.
Like,
It's a weight game in there, in a way that is very, again, that's the consistency thing I'm talking about. That makes that zone feel exponentially harder to navigate than Ardenweald or any other zone. It just feels hard to get around in there in a way that is unique to Revendreth and makes me avoid the place.
Every zone too. What also irks me is every zone has that one section where like everything's elite and it's crammed full.
Yeah.
And you just got to like run for your life and hope you don't get dismounted to get to the world quests that are for some reason tucked away at the farthest corner of the darkest region of the butt of this zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, why is this a thing?
Yeah, you're not kidding. And there's an elite that I needed to get. And it was down, I don't remember what zone I was in. It might have been Maldraxxus, but it was a similar thing. There's like a gauntlet of elites and really hard and just tons of mobs, like an aggroable nightmare of mobs. And I'm able to pop into freaking moose mode and not be unmounted even. And even then, I got killed 3 times trying to get through there because all I can do is ground mount through that tunnel. There was no around it sort of method. So eventually, the way I did it is I hung around out of aggro distance in the front of that gate and waited for a bunch of players to come because I know other people want to get that content. And I waited for a wad of like 5-6 people to show up for this 40-man kill or 25-man kill. And then just followed them because they got all the aggro. And that's how I got in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a weird.
Yeah. It's another weird thing, right? Like, I don't think it's the end of the world, but we know we're a month in now.
Yeah.
And I'm already feeling the world quest burnout where I'm just like, and it's not because I'm sick of doing the world quests, because honestly, I've been not spending nearly as much time in the other three zones as I have my Covenant zone. Cause they're just so prohibitively annoying to travel around.
Yeah.
So I actually still haven't seen a great deal of the world quests. Like the first 2 weeks I was like capping out my anima. I don't even know why. I have like nothing I can do with all that anima.
Right.
But I mean, now I'm kind of digging it, cause I don't need to worry about it as much. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, I can just run all my mission table can always be going, and I never need to worry about anima. So like, it's not going to waste, but there's just this sense of, well, if it's not an Arnwield, I mean, is it going to give me a serious eye level upgrade, or am I running an anima? Then I'm not really interfacing with it. I'm just kind of ignoring it and focusing on, because there's still so much. It still takes a long time to do Torghast.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of good reasons to be running dungeons right now.
Like dailies in the maw make me want to pick scabs and eat them. I hate it.
Oh no, I like the maw. I'm a good at bat for the maw. I think that I like the maw feeling oppressive. I
don't mind the oppression. I don't even mind the eye of the jailer stuff. I don't mind that stuff. What I don't like is I just feel like it's scattershot. There's just more gauntlets to get through to get to where your stuff is. And it just feels like trash for trash sake. And I just don't like that feeling. I mean, here's the thing. 9.1, we're supposed to get flying. And it's not tied to Pathfinder. That's all good news. No, because
it's tied to Renown, but they haven't said what level.
Right. And that's a problem.
Or if they're adding more Renown levels. Right. Because if it comes out and they're like, surprise, 50 more levels of Renown.
Yeah.
It's really not that much different than, surprise, here's a whole new faction you have to grind to Exalted with.
Yeah.
With the one exception that, like, so far the way we've gotten Renown is like just logging in every week and doing the quests that they give you. Like, it's not hard. It's not hard. I really like that Renown. So at least so far has just been, hey, are you just playing the game?
Yeah. You playing
somewhat regularly?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here you go.
If you do your blue shield quests, you're pretty much moving on. Like, you're getting good. And that's where I'm enjoying the most out of this thing. That's where I'm having the most fun. I did that Bwamsamdi thing. I don't know if the non-horde people do that or not. You guys do that? I guess if you're in the... If you do Night Fae, you do it, I guess.
You're talking very specifically about very specifically about one of the Night Fae quests?
Yeah, where you get to go hang out with him and talk to him. He sends you with a...
That was last week that unlocked
that
for me.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Yes, I am playing Alliance, so yeah.
That's right. That's a Covenant thing, but part of the overall...
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that's faction-specific.
Yeah, I haven't either now that I think about it.
In Shadowlands.
That was more... Well, that's definitely... Yeah, BFA was all about...
Have you done this week's for Night Fae?
No,
it's also pretty cool.
Not yet. I hope I'm there.
It's a little longer than I wanted it to be. Mm. But it was cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of that. It was just good to see him again. And I like the story.
Oh yeah. Have you done the dungeon yet?
I haven't done the dungeon yet.
We haven't done the other side.
Mm-hmm. How is it? Is it good?
Oh, Scott, it is. Well, let's see. I guess you walked into it if you did that quest. So you saw the inside.
I saw the inside of it. I did.
Because that has got to be one of the coolest looking dungeons I have ever stepped foot inside.
It looks pretty neat. I meant to start queuing and stuff, and I didn't. I also was supposed to run LFR this week. I had full plans. I was going to get in there.
Oh, my gosh, Scott.
Knock it out. I know.
I'm
know.
I'm out of here.
So that's why I wanted to. I was going to ask you, did you run? I assume you ran that wing. How'd it go?
Yeah, I ran LFR. I got my best in slot protection warrior legendary recipe, and I also got a pretty decent damage trinket, so I'm happy with it.
Nicely done. Nicely
I couldn't done. Believe it. I got in as a damage quicker than I did as a tank.
Really?
To give me any indication of how many damn people are running this thing.
I mean, that's partly why I held off, because I was just like, I don't want to queue forever.
Dude, sat down Tuesday morning. I looked up videos. I opened a Google Doc. I made tank notes. Whoa. And then I queued up and it's like, do you want to do damage? I'm like, I did all this studying the tank for no good reason. Damn it. So because I remember doing it at the end of BFA.
Yeah.
I was in Nyalotha week one, like it was actually kind of hard. You needed to know what you were doing as a tank, and you need to be able to explain it to the other tank in case they didn't know what they were doing. So I made some notes then.
Oh, nice.
So I did the same thing here, but I got thrown in as a damage. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going over to Fury. I don't have a legendary for this spec, but this is how this goes.
Yeah. I've been trying to stay.
And we wiped on every boss at least once, except for one of the bosses. One shot, I think, the middle boss. We wiped on the first boss once, and then we got it. One shot the second boss, and then we wiped on the third boss once, and then we got it the second time.
Okay. Well, see, look at you putting in your, doing your dues. That's what you did.
Yeah. I mean, as always, first week of a new wing is the best time to run it, because that's when people have the most patience. Because, like, we were dying, and no one was flaming. Everyone was like, hey, this is what we did wrong. This is what we need to focus on. And
yeah, I do like
everyone
that.
Pulled it together and did it right.
You're also going to have the most, well, like I said, you can pop in there quicker with DPS than ever. So that's cool. Here's what I want. Renown 9 or 10 should be when we get our flying. They're not going to do that, but that's what I want.
But we're already past that.
I know. That's my point. Like, that was where I hit, and I went, and I got a few emails about this this week and a couple of tweets. They're like, it's right around 9 or 10 that you just feel like, yeah, I've earned the right to fly now. Quit making me run so far, and if you're never going to give me a whistle, give me something. So make it be flying and make it be around 10. They won't do it, I know, but I want them to.
I think every expansion since, well, Kata, where they just got it so wrong, it was insane. No, I would say every expansion except Pandaria, I felt like we've gotten flying too late. And so basically since Pathfinder started, I think they wait too long.
I agree.
I'm not inherently, because everyone's heard me go on Pathfinder rant, so everyone's like, oh, you know, you just want flying from the beginning. I'm like, no, we had it in Cataclysm. It was terrible. That's not what I'm asking
for. We don't want that, yeah.
Yeah,
they swung too far in the other direction.
In Lich King, I liked that they designed two of the highest level zones for flying. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool.
Yeah,
it was part of the living experience. I liked it a lot in Lich King. And then in Pandaria, it was like, are you max level? Cool, you can now go get flying.
Yeah. I also liked the way that was done. I loved how it was introduced in Burning Crusade, because there were places in Burning Crusade that were part of like early zones, like Hellfire, that you couldn't get to until you got flying. And so it was just like extra feeling of earning something, because you not only were able to finally get flying, train it, afford it, buy it, have it, now I can go up on these cliffs that I knew looked, something was fishy up there, and there's all kinds of content and quests and shit up there. That was great.
Yeah.
I love that.
But like, really, when it comes down to Pathfinder, to me, I think like most expansions, I felt like 2 months in, I've wanted to fly, and it's always way longer than that.
Yeah.
But Shadowlands, just because of what a pain it is to get around, I'm like, I'm a month in, and I'm like, yeah, I could go for flying right now.
Yeah, I'm ready right now.
I would not mind if flying just came down the pipe tomorrow.
But if they come out and go renown 50, I'm a break something. I don't think I can deal with it.
Well, you don't know though, because by then you might already be 50.
That's a good point. Renown, like you said, has been coming pretty hand over fist. It's not like
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. Like, and again, since this is all coming from a place of I am still really having a good time here.
Yeah.
Like, none of this is, I'm sure this episode's coming off kind of strong, because I kind of feel like it's coming off a little strong.
Maybe.
I'm just having such a damn good time, but there's just there's so many things that are just like,
yeah,
sticking out. It's just like, why is it this way? Why can't I do actually want to do everything. Like in BFA, I was just like, oh my God, I hate this Azerite system so much. I just give up. I know I'm not going to be current with it, so I'm just not gonna go, you know, if I'm bored with world quests, I'm just not doing them, just, and that's how I played the game, because I didn't want to do it anymore,
right?
But in Shadowlands, I want to do everything, and I want to work on alts, because I want to see the other covenants. And right now it takes like half my damn day just to do world quests. Mm-hmm. And it's a little much.
It's a
and
lot
I realize
much.
I don't have to do them, but I want to.
Yeah.
And I feel like the game is telling me, sorry, you need to pick where your effort goes on a single tune. And yeah, I realize I'm the type of person that also goes play heroes and plays Hearthstone, but
yeah,
it's,
well, I'll tell you what,
it's a lot.
I remember in BFA thinking, oh, it's a lot to ask me to go down to the ship, talk to Wiener Boy, and get flown over to Alliance Town to do these other world quests today that are not over on this half of the world in Zandalari Town. Boy, that's a bummer. That takes forever. Now I think maybe that was nothing. Because some of these just simple need to get to Ouroboros takes forever. Or to get from Ouroboros, okay, here's a long one. To get to fly, let's say my cooldowns are all janked on Hearthstones and cloaks and stuff. For me to go from Ouroboros to Ardenweald's Covenant camp zone thing, or whatever, what are they called? Covenant, whatever they are. Your little
Sanctums.
Sanctums, thank you. For me to get from Oribos to Sanctum, it's nightmarishly long. It's not like it's, because there's only one way in from Oribos, and it's through that tree, and you're just, there you are. But it's like 90% down the continent that is Ardenweald to get to the damn thing. It's just dumb. That Listen, stuff is dumb.
I realize, you know, a lot of our focus here has been on, like, we understand there's ways around it, but it doesn't seem straightforward or, like, particularly great game design, and that's why we're not giving it its due.
Yeah.
Now's the point, Scott, where I do really want to sell you on, get all your cloaks. If you, for some reason, you banked your dollar on Hearthstone, which it sure as shit sounds like you did.
No, I have.
Get it out.
Yeah.
Because it takes so long, even just to get around zones that you're currently questing in, you will have surpassed 15 minutes at some point. So back to Dalaran, through the portal, to the portal room, back to Oribos. Blech. Go from Oribos to where you need to fly.
Blech. I'll do it.
I know. But for the sake of the listeners who are like, it's not that bad, Scott. For our own integrity, because we've been saying, well, my other complaint is it just takes so long to get around each zone. It's like, if that is true, which it is, your Hearthstones are off cooldown. So set your main Hearthstone to your damn Covenant Sanctum, and then use Dalaran Hearthstone and your guild tabards to get yourself back to the portal rooms.
Also, can they be more consistent about where you can mount in Oribos on the main floor, please?
They don't want you crowding around the vendors and the Bolvar.
Totally fine with that. Yeah. Here's what they should do. Not let us ride.
Also, you're a Night Fae, man. You can be in your blue fox form the whole time.
I get that. But here's what you do in there. And I can go cat too as a druid. So
you're a druid. I'm sorry. All right, never mind. Everybody, you can just stop listening to any complaints Scott has about. Wait, hold up. Listeners at home, did we just find the rarest mofo on the planet? I think we found the only druid on earth that doesn't love the maw because of the sense of superiority the maw gives druids.
Everyone else
is like, oh, the maw takes so long, and every druid just comes out of the woodwork. Oh, you should have played a druid.
What does that tell you, though?
It's the nipple rubbing cable employee South Park bit. That's druids in the maw right now.
Yeah, but what that tells you how truly bad it is to travel around in there, because if a druid's complaining, just imagine how bad it is for everybody else. Is what I'm
saying. Listen, I'm not a druid. I'm a warrior. I have no movement speed increases. I am a night fae, but that is not long enough for the maw.
No.
I like it. I get what they were going for with the maw, and I think they nailed it. Like, and I realize, you know, I've seen people complaining. They're like, they invented a problem, and then they're solving it because you can get portals. You can unlock portals eventually in the maw.
That's true. Yeah.
But I'm like, that's just game design. At the end of the day, you don't need to be playing World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft is a problem that's been invented for you to solve.
I mean, that stuff's progression, and that's the game's always.
And to
had
me,
it.
The maw is the place where I've felt the progression, and it feels good. Like I am spending less time in the maw. It is going faster, and I am noticing my increase in power. Whereas in all of the other zones where I'm doing world quests, you know, whether it's Ardenweald, whether it's Bastion, whatever, I'm killing things faster, but I'm still taking just as damn long to walk to the next thing I need to go do.
Yeah.
Whereas the maw, because it's, you know, I think it's still, there's hard enemies to kill. You know, the combat feels meaningful, and so the travel doesn't stand out as much to me in the maw. Plus, I unlocked like the harpoon thing, and that thing, my God, helps so much out there.
Well, grats on the incredibly deep cut South Park nipple rubbing reference. Well done on that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good episode. It's pretty good. All right, we're going to do something a little bit new today, and it's this.
It is with optimism that I address you today.
I'm going to give you a mod of the week. Yeah, that's right. I'm looking at mods again, trying to figure out my
Where's
mod
Patrick?
Strategy. Yeah, you think he'd be here. Wee-wee, poo-poo.
Wait, you just recorded a thing with Patrick, and you didn't have him do mod of the week?
Nope, I didn't. I should have. Why didn't we do that? I don't know. We'll talk to him. Instead, I had Sire Butthole say it. But anyway, I'm going to talk today about Rare Scanner, a mod I use now. It's an add-on you've probably seen in the top 10. It's probably not that unusual for a lot of you, but if you have missed it or never heard of it, it's a World of Warcraft mod that detects whether a vignette has appeared in the minimap. All right, a vignette is a little icon added in the 5.4 patch that appeared as a skull or a rare or with other icons for events and treasures on your minimap. So you may have heard of all that since then. 5.0 was what? Pandaria? Whatever it was. Anyway, since 7.0 patches appeared as a star. Anyway, Rare Scanners displays a button in the middle of your screen with the name of the rare found and a little mini miniature of said rare and a bar with the loot that drops from that rare. Whether it's rare loot or not, it would be, I guess, from the rare. Anyway, at the same time, it plays an alarm sound, so it can warn you when you aren't at your computer, you can click on the button and it will add a skull over the NPC and target it to make it easier to find. I like stuff like this. It's a little bit of easy mode, but I like to be reminded when I'm
installing it right now because I've never used it before.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. I recommend it.
Well, I have one I'm passionate about. Would you like me to wait, save it for next week, or just tell you now?
Actually, hold on to it because I want to make it a regular thing, and we'll do one a week. So hold on to that.
Okay. Anyone remind me next week because I'm not used to adding this in.
Yeah, no, this is great. We'll watch that next week. So be here or be square. All right, check this out. Time for us to play Rapid Fire Questions, where I ask Garrett a question, set of questions that were submitted by you at theinstance.net/questions, and or question, rather. And he did the same for me. Got him on Twitter via hashtag, which is, I forgot, what's the hashtag?
It's Rapid Fire Scott.
Oh, Rapid Fire Scott.
Hashtag Rapid Fire Scott, and I'm actually running out of them.
Oh,
so
get some in then, guys.
Make a tweet, put Rapid Fire Scott in a hashtag. I've got a filter set up for it on my tweet deck. I see them all. None escape the eye of the Garrett Jailer.
No.
I do not have a hole in my chest.
oh my gosh, it just occurred to me that Eye of the Jailer thing is basically a Sauron thing, isn't it? That's what it is.
Wow, Scott. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Look how long it took me to figure that out.
I've been rewatching Lord of the Rings, so it's kind of been fresh in my mind.
I forgot all about that. All right. Anyway, sorry. Continue. So, oh yeah, that's the hashtag. Yeah. Rapid Fire Scott. It's not just my wrestling name in high school. It is an actual hashtag. And we're good to roll. Here are your questions that were provided to me to ask you today, and here they are. We each have six of them. Starhammer on Magtheridon says, have you ever farted in the workplace in front of a coworker? If so, please explain in detail, says this person, not me. I don't want to.
If I'm certain I have, but in terms of explaining in detail, it must not have been that memorable because I don't freaking know.
All right. That's good. It's actually a better answer than not. I'm giving you a correct on that.
I have had I have distinct memories of employees complaining after I used a restroom.
Well, we've all dropped our bombs at different times. Benjen on Blade's Edge says, he's in the chat today. Benjen, how you doing? Anyway, who is the real villains in Shadowlands, and why is it the Ascended? What do you think of that?
I have a pet peeve for questions asked in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Is it blank? I want to do anything but actually react to your question.
It's your rebellious nature. It's your punk
rock. So I'm going to go with attitude. It's Flight Masters because those bastards could spread out a little more.
I freaking agree. Valteri on Earthen Ring says, Garrett, would you rather spoil the end of Shadowlands for Patrick or make Scott do Fortnite dances for TikTok while wearing a scarf?
Oh, man. I would definitely rather spoil the end of Shadowlands for Patrick.
I'm glad you answered that way because I don't
If for no other reason than it's because I truly believe he will never actually see it himself.
There you go. This is all true. Next up, we have Bane on Stormcastle, or Stormscale, rather. There is no Stormcastle. He says, all I want is a power... excuse me. All I want is a proper cup of coffee made in a proper coffee copper pot. How about you? I think he was just trying to trip me up, but you can answer if you want to. And it works.
I have recently started doing the slow pour thing, but it ain't no copper. No, I ain't got time for that.
Correct. Correct. Next question from Dark Main on Silvermoon. Darksaber or Frostmourne? I know. This is like Frostmourne. Asking. Oh, really? Frostmourne still?
Frostmourne. Without even blinking.
I mean, I think Frostmourne can command a lot of business.
I don't think the Darksaber is that very a cool design. I don't actually like it that much.
Well, plus it's
one of my least favorite lightsaber designs.
Right, but you even just said it kind of. It's another lightsaber. It's a different design. It's got this voidy black thing going on, all that stuff. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's
by the way,
just
the last week's episode, the ignition when a certain character, or sorry, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, when a certain character in a cape that we might recognize from Breaking Bad ignited the Darksaber. It looked like someone controlled teed in Photoshop.
Oh, right.
And didn't hold down shift. Like, it looked like it just squashed from the tiniest version of its shape to the size it should have been. It's the worst effect in the history of The Mandalorian, and it made me really angry.
I kind of have to agree.
It's
like that.
It's horrendous.
Yeah, there was that moment. There was a moment where I noticed that and went, ugh. And
I was like, I do a lot of videography nowadays. I do not do special effects. I could have done that better.
I think I could have as well. That was really bad. Frostmourne also can command a giant undead army, so...
I want to. I want to take people's souls.
Yeah, I get you. Final question: we have Sorkman on the Garage server. He says, "Chili dog or corn dog?"
Corn dogs are the worst thing ever. So chili dog, please.
Whoa,
thank you.
Hold on now. Worst thing ever. The judges say no. There are worse things than corn dogs, but I would still take a chili dog over a corn dog as well.
I mean, this is an age-old fight between my wife and I, because she loves corn dogs, but I detest them with a deep, dark region of my soul.
I could kill a box of corn dogs. Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. All right, well, I'm with your wife. Now the tables have turned. The shoe is on the other foot. Ask me your questions.
Das Herg wants to know, if 2020 were a raid, what raid would it be, Scott?
What raid did I really hate? what was the one in, was it BFA?
Hold on.
Or Warlords. No, it's Warlords. What's the one with all the fire in it? There's one,
Blackrock Foundry?
Yes, I hated Foundry. Hated it.
Oh, Foundry was kind of cool.
No. I mean, I love the look of it and the idea of it and all the stuff. Like, the tone of it is rad. I thought the mechanics of that raid sucked. I hated it. Did not enjoy it. Yeah, I fell off of that raid. I didn't like it.
I still, to this day, think Heimal is one of the worst raids I've ever played.
Heimal had so much, like... I don't know. They were trying something different there with Heimal. I liked Heimal.
Yeah, everything was... brown and rocks.
Yeah. Also, like, Siege of Orgrimmar is a pain in the ass. So any of those work.
Yeah, Siege of Orgrimmar is kind of cool though.
Yeah, it has its moments.
I mean, it's clearly the Plague Wing from Naxxramas, but yeah.
It's a good point. All right, I answered that correctly. How about number two?
At Chase D Moore wants to know, what covenants would Frog Pants House join in real life?
In real life, if these existed,
probably
still Ardenweald. I think that's our vibe. We're not.
We need. Okay. All right. So Ardenweald. Let's. What about Brian Ivett? Where would he go?
Oh, I think he'd also do Ardenweald.
Tom Merritt.
Bastion.
Doing rapid fire within a rapid fire. Okay. Yes, me. Yeah,
you.
Doesn't matter what I actually picked.
Revendreth.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think that all checks. Right? That all checks out.
Yeah, there's only four, but there feels like there's a covenant for everybody's personality type.
And I dig it.
If it's pretty,
I dig it.
Maldraxxus in a bad mood, but generally, yeah.
At Austintanius wants to know: do you regret buying the last gen console version of Cyberpunk instead of the PC version?
No, because I was ended up getting a code for the PC version. So as of today, I have the PC version, which is where I'm going to play it. And the console version, I've decided, since Microsoft announced today, just like PlayStation did a few days before, they're going to allow refunds. So I'm going to refund the console version. And so what ended up happening in the end is I got the better version, the PC version, for free. So I have no regrets about anything. I'm good. No regrets, baby.
Scott is a realist.
That's right.
That's what I like about you. At Critagree asks, it's Activision Investors Day and Blizzard are announcing an original series based in the Warcraft universe. What is the weirdest, most niche series they could announce?
Oh my gosh, dude.
I mean, by the way, Critagree actually wanted to know 10 series, and I was like, no, I'm editing this. That's too many.
That's too many, yeah. That's the problem, is there's so many possibilities, and I don't want to just go to this, you know, someone's going to say Hogger, and no, we don't want Hogger. Because that's just a funny thing to say. I'd say like the Society of Murlocs. Oh, someone in the chat just said Murlocs. I'd say a Society of Murlocs, kind of like, you know, not Smurfs, but a similar thing where it's sort of a hierarchy and there's a King Murloc and it's all animated. We're going to animate this thing and it's going to be goofy and for kids, and that's what I want.
Like those two live action Ewok movies they made.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, kind of like
the worst
that,
child actors on God's green earth hanging out with people in Murloc costumes.
Yeah, except good. I want it to be good. I don't want to waste it and be bad. So yeah, Mancrick's wife, close second. Nice call there. Anyway.
At Fixing No One wants to know, what was your favorite WoW celebrity commercial?
I assume the new one even counts as a candidate because there's a bunch of celebrities in it. Gonna go with I gotta remind myself who did those besides Shatner. Oh, the Mr. T one. I like that one.
I like the Ozzy Osbourne one.
Oh, that was good too, yeah.
I like how much his undead character actually looks like him.
Yeah, there's a way to make a warlock in the undead that looks just like Ozzy, and they knew it, so they used him for it. But I'm pretty sure I liked the one with the Mr. T the most, because, I don't know, Mr. T, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. All right, final one, at A. Matt Brandt. And as always, I will end with the hardest hitting question, Scott.
Great.
Matt wants to know, how much chewing can we expect from you on this week's There Will Be Dungeons?
All right, I'll admit it. I usually mute the microphone, but, you know, I get a bowl of sunflower seeds or D&D for me is snack time. It always is. So it's hard for me not to sort of fiddle eat while I'm playing. But I can tell you that this week's There Will Be Dungeons will feature zero chewing on my part. None. Zip. Nada. Because I have a dinner thing after that I have to, like, save myself for.
That's dude, tabletop role-playing is absolutely for snacks.
Yeah, and we've, like, said this on the 100%. Show.
100%.
Like, we early said this on that show. We said, just so everyone knows, sometimes people are going to be eating or drinking or whatever they're going to do. That's just how this is. So, D&D snack.
It's a real live play. None of this fake, super well-edited live play.
Yeah, that's garbage. Nobody does that and lives. All right? Well done, everybody. Yeah. Great questions as usual. Please keep those coming because we love them. Now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, Mr. Metz and I have some answers. People sent us an email via theinstance@gmail.com. You're all encouraged to do it as often and as much as you want. And you can ask us any kind of hard question you want. I got this one from Woody, who says, hey guys, wanted to chime in on Scott's complaint about mythics. One of the things that Disney parks do very well is theming. They try and make everything feel like it can be a natural place in the park. Or piece of the park. They integrate the mechanics of the park into the theme and blend the two so the experience is as immersive as possible. This is something Blizzard has done poorly when it comes to the mythic. The mechanics of the experience don't feel like they're part of that experience, and I think that's what Scott was picking up on. Thanks for the show. Keep up the good work, Woody. That is exactly what I'm saying. Don't like just what feels like random affixes in that environment. What I like is something that feels like the world's been messed with. So why I like the Mimiron button was because it was in the world. You had to make a choice to use it. In essence, the effect is sort of the same, but I like that it's determined based on the theming of that place. And the Disneyland comparison's a really good one. So you nailed it, Woody.
I think you're both nuts and are missing the point entirely.
I disagree. I think you could take affixes in dungeons and you could say, this one's caused because you killed that guy first. He's my son. Now you're in real trouble. And then everything gets harder or whatever the hard thing is.
Supposed to change every week and be dungeon wide. And you're describing hard mode for bosses. This is something that affects an entire dungeon.
Right.
This is apples and rockets. See that they are comparing. Like, this could not be more unlinked.
Why couldn't they be themed to the dungeon you're in? Why couldn't it?
Do you know what an ask that is? So you can either just design a bunch of affixes that can be blanket applied to entire dungeons, or you then need to multiply that by however many dungeons currently exist in the game.
That's a fair point. Maybe there's a huge ask.
There's a workflow
problem here. I guess I'm not considering, but
yeah,
but I still say he's right as to what bugs me. He's right. It's just not very fixable.
I'm not confused as to what's bothering you. I'm confused as to why you're linking it to this.
Yeah.
Like I'm with you on the old wire hard modes were the best ever. It was so cool.
Yeah.
But to me, they have no relation to Mythic Plus affixes.
Well, there you have it. The final word is I'm wrong about a thing that does bug me. Nailed it.
I see the link.
Yeah.
I don't think you're completely nuts, but I'm just like, it's different. And also, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think about the realistic implications of being like, I want lore ramifications for each and every affix.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah, that'd be
not going to happen. Yeah, you're not wrong. All right. There's the show. Hey, a reminder, the show is supported by you fine folks at home. And if you're wondering how to do that, you go to theinstance.net and sign up for it. It's a little custom thing we made. Gives you lots of benefits, including last week, y'all got a bonus show about Star Wars stuff. And the only way you got it was supporting us over there. So go check it out. That's theinstance.net. As usual, we have other projects going on. We'd like to give everybody a chance to mention those. Garrett, what's going on amove.tv schedule?
Oh, all of the things, but there's a new WoW killer out, and we did a lot more Torghast talk. Taliesin and I talked about what was eating at us in Torghast, and it's not just the dogs that are actually eating us. So you should go and check that out. Everything else is at AMove.tv. Lots of Hearthstone updates this week. So I'll also give a shout out to Angry Chicken. So go subscribe for those.
The angriest of chickens. Go check that out. As always, there's plenty going on in the Frog Pants Network. If you're looking for comics and shows and other stuff, it's all there. Go check it out, frogpants.com. And we'll, so it looks like we're going to be off next week because it's the day after Christmas.
Next week is actual Christmas.
Actual Christmas. So we're not going to be here next week, but we will be.
It's Christmas Day.
Well, and we probably won't be here for New Year's either. But I think what will happen is there may be some extra stuff up. If I get a chance to talk to Greg, for example, I will put up that interview as a separate thing.
Give me a poke on a weird day, man.
Maybe we'll just throw something together.
You're bored. You got some wow crap rattling around your brain you want to talk about. Give me a poke.
Sure. We'll get on and say, I still wish I could fly. And then you guys will get it. It'll be great. we'll see how it goes.
That's what the episode's going to be called.
I think that's it. Thank you all for listening, for watching, for hanging out with us, for being here. We love hanging out with you guys. We hope you like hanging out with us, especially all you guys that showed up today to be here live, because live is better than dead. And we love having you here. So stay alive, stay good,
LA places.
Stay helpful, healthy. All those things, and look forward to a future that involves us meeting again here at the cornerstone of our lives, known as The Instance. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, for Patrick. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.